here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, April the 14th. Beautiful day. Couldn't be any more. I tell you what, if anything's wrong in your life, just walk out on your porch this morning and you'll smile a little bit. And I'll tell you, I'm smiling today because our friend, who obviously was busy with Easter and other things, I had a little cold there. He had a cold. But hey, what, we're back here on Friday morning. And by the way, I want to mention, this show can not only be heard live on Friday morning from 9:10 to 10 a.m., but it repeats on Sunday morning, 8:10 to 9 a.m., and Wednesday and Thursday, 3:10 to 4 p.m. And if you can't get to your listening device at those times, go to the website, Program Archives, and it's right there. Also, go to the Facebook page. We post it before the end of today, and you can listen to it. It is Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself. Pastor, so good to see you and have you back this morning.
Good to be here. Good to be here. I don't know. We had a few minutes there to talk before we got on air, and maybe that should have been part of the show. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. From that conversation, what I do want to bring up, because this is an anything goes show, which I like. A few years ago, I don't know if people will remember it or not, but you called in during one of our shows and had a very interesting conversation, current events conversation with one of our hosts that was very civilized. Clearly, the two of you had different opinions, but it was a very civilized conversation. And I think this right now, we are in a time, no matter how you feel about what's going on in the news, where it's very hard for people to be civilized right now and talk to each other. I was saying before we went on, as far as current events go, we have had people like Sam Donaldson, Dick Cavett, Governor Strickland, who fall on one side, but we've had Judge Joe Brown, Jim Blessing, Harding's grandson, it'll come to me. Some people on the opposite side, but we can't have it together. Why is that, Pastor?
What do you mean we can't have?
We can't. We're always yelling at each other. If we can have people on separately.
Well, I think because emotions run so high, and I think one of the reasons for that is I'm gonna. Man, this is gonna sound kind of mean spirited to say this because it includes all of us. You know, it used to be we had limited information, and it used to be we had. I think we had a lot more time than we do today. And people would really invest in trying to understand and know things and get to the bottom of them. We weren't flooded by media. We weren't flooded by our electronic devices and everything popping up every 5 minutes. And you don't know what's true and what isn't. And I think that people have so much gotten away from, let's look at the facts and what's really going on, to they fire off talking points. And when you do that, you're more heated because, you know, the louder your argument, the more you're going to get your point across. And I'll be honest with you, I think that the media outlets do a huge disservice in some of the hateful reporting. And what I mean by that is most of them turn it into news magazines anyway. And you get people that really... they know how to fire you up. You know, if you're fired up, you're going to listen to the next show and see if you can get more. And I think that's what a lot of it is. We're very polarized in this country. You've got people that all they'll listen to is NPR, and you have people that all they're going to listen to is Newsmax or one of those shows. And they don't want anything to do with the other side. And I think that, you know, I think we need to listen to everything, but... I just think that we're firing off of emotion more than we're using thought. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I want to come back to two things. You and I have had these conversations, and I don't know if we've had them on air or not, but it's worth bringing on air. One of the reasons I have always felt that this station had a good listenership and continues to this day is because we do not go all one way. We're not all in on one way, and we've never turned anybody down that I can ever remember as a guest. If you've wanted to come on and talk about something, we've allowed it. And
that's the free speech we all have.
We should have that, but if you watch some two sources you just rattled off there, I don't know. You have to have a certain... So I've always felt that being a part of this group, You are going to get a cross-section because I don't think we have any definitive way that people listen. Also, when it comes to the media, the only thing I would say in defense of the media, and I'm not defending all one-way media. Like, I would never defend MSNBC because it's clear they have a bias. I would never defend Fox News because it's clear they have a bias, in my opinion. But the bias, here's my thing about saying a news source has a bias. But first we have to define what a news source is. But here's my thing. There have been thousands and thousands of studies done on media bias. Okay. Not one study has ever been done on audience bias. Now, if I'm an audience member and I'm listening to, let's say you're listening to this show right here. Okay. And you come in and let's say you really like, and I'm going to go way, let's say you really like Richard Nixon. You are a fan of Richard Nixon. You love the guy. If I do a show, a factual show, on things Richard Nixon did with a biographer, and if some of those things are negative, you're not going to like that show. And you're going to think I'm against Richard Nixon.
Of course.
Which may not be the case. But right. That's audience bias. That's not media bias.
Yeah, and I think that's once again where it comes back to people firing off their emotions and what they've decided to believe. You know, as a pastor, I have people come to me and we'll have discussions about, you know, would you like to come to church, that kind of thing. And they'll say, well, look, here's my opinion of the Bible. And they'll fire off something. This is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says. And it's obviously clear from their comments to me, they know absolutely nothing about the Bible, but they picked up on some talking points for maybe a movie they've seen or something here or something there, and that's what they're going to stand on, and that's the way it's going to be. And they don't take the time to investigate. And that's just, I think that it's an easy way out. I've always been a person that's been a very investigative person. And I'll tell you something, Scott, back to you, and what it gives you, I think, some of the freedom that you have here. Well, one, it's that's what you choose to do. But you're kind of like me as a pastor. I'm not getting rich doing this, and I never have. That money has never been a driver in why I do what I do. And unfortunately, with a lot of pastors, a lot of organizations and denominations, there is something behind. There's a driver, and you don't have that, Scott. You're not making any money at this place.
You know what? I would love. I'm so glad you brought this up because this is something I don't know that I've ever said. And I want to correct something I said a few minutes ago when I said MSNBC and Fox News are biased. Here's what the opinion shows. I'm not talking about the news. Actually, if you listen to their news reports, both stations do a good job with that. Talking about the opinion shows at night,
right, right.
Which will tell you their opinion shows.
Right.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So I didn't want to paint the whole brush there. See, I even get it wrong sometimes. But the money thing. There are certain things, and they've been done by other stations in this town, and it's a choice that's made. WMRN made the choice with programming that they did to get money at a time when they were not well-funded. I know that television stations in this town have done it, and what they did was they took a political opinion, and then they were funded by candidates who believe that same political opinion, and they did not let the other side on. And we have been approached in the past about doing that here. And I just don't believe in that. Sorry, can't do it. So in that regard, I guess we're poor because of it. But you know what? I'm much happier than I would be if
we
were.
At the end of the day, if you have any conscience at all, you got to lay your head on the pillow and say, I did what was right.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of sweeping what was right under the... There's a lot of callous consciences out there. And more so in today's society. And we have a tendency to jump on the bandwagon to whatever we want to. I'll give you another good example. When you look at the gun control debate, very heated debate in our country, you know, one side is real quick, for instance, to throw out all the statistics about gun violence. And, yeah, there's a lot of gun violence, but in countries that don't have guns, there's still as much violence as in gun violence. I mean, at the core of violence is violence. You know what I mean? There's a driver that's causing people to want to hurt somebody. And without going deep into that gun debate, I'll say this, that at the same time, those very people don't stop to look at statistics about other things, like what has happened to our educational system and our and the graduation rates and the basically our education system in the last 40 or 50 years? What has happened to, why do we have teen suicide? Do we never even, there was so little a number when I was growing up, Scott, that it wasn't even something that you could pull or talk about. You just never heard of it. Why is crime so high? Why is fraud so high? Why are there so many single parent homes or no parent homes? What has happened in this country that has, I don't believe we've had a progressive society. In my opinion, we've had a very regressive society. But the very people that will pull statistics all day long to show gun violence and what it's done, if they're afraid those statistics may reflect on something that they've been behind, they'll just shut up and not say anything about them. And I think that's just, look, if we're going to be honest, we have to be honest and put the debate on the table. And I don't know how much people are willing to put a true debate on the table anymore. You know, one thing you can be guaranteed about when you're sitting in a group of people that are totally uneducated about what they're talking about is they're going to use emotion to try to ride the override the conversation because they don't have the facts, and they're not going to. So in other words, if I have facts in something and you don't have facts or your facts won't line up, you're just going to get louder and meaner and try and shut me up. And that's true in anything, in any conversation anyway. The bully on the playground, you know, you can't reason with him. He's going to get the upper hand and pop you right in the nose, and that's what he does. And I think that a lot of time guests, even on a show, if you've seen it, when they don't have a leg to stand on, they become a bully.
Well, and I think, I forget who told me this, but it was a very well-known person one time. And once they got out of the business, they were in broadcasting. It was either broadcasting or journalism. It was certainly this business. But they always said when somebody got angry or loud, what they knew is that shows insecurity. So they're not very secure in what they're saying anymore.
Correct.
And that's why they're getting loud, because you do that in life. I mean, if you think about it, when something surprises you and you don't necessarily have the grasp right then to fix it or give the correct answer, you do get angry. Well, what do kids do when they fail on a test? They get upset at themselves. It's the same type of thing.
Yeah, there was a commercial out around the Super Bowl time, and it was they were using Rob Gronkowski quite a bit, and what a character! I mean, retired football player, and he's just a character. He always has been, but what a hard worker! But it was funny in the commercial. They asked him if he was scared about kicking this. He was supposed to, the thing was he was going to kick a field goal in the Super Bowl, even though he, you know, really wasn't. It was just a commercial. But and she asked him, she says, Rob, she says, are you afraid? And he just kind of looked down and shook his head and went, oh, please. And, you know, I think that there's times when you're having that debate conversation that maybe there's nothing wrong with having the response of just shaking your head and going, oh, please. Like, I don't believe this. But you're right. When you start getting loud and yelling, you know, okay, you're just getting loud and yelling, but, you know, that's all you're doing.
You know what nobody says anymore? I don't know. I would love for any candidate or anybody in office to come on this show at some point, and I ask them a question, and they say, you know, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll get back to you. People don't say that anymore. They used to.
Well, they still do it in corporate America, and then they just pass the buck to the guy above them.
Right. Well, you know what? How could everybody know every law? How can you know what I'm going to ask you?
You can't. You know, do I know everything that's said in Congress? Do I know everything? We only have opinions on what we're shown and what we see. Am I right?
Exactly.
You remember when, and you'll hear this over and over again, when they come up with like a new budget, and the budget bill will be 6,000 pages long, and they get it at the last minute. You've heard all this argument on TV. How are we supposed to vote on something we're only given 5 hours to read, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, we start complaining that, you know, no one even knows what's in it and this, that, and the other. The truth of the matter is, it could be published and be out there a month ahead of time, and 99.99% of the general public would not want to read it or wouldn't read it either. But they're going to harp about no one having a chance to read it. You see what I mean?
Well, you know what I think this whole thing is a circular, it's a societal thing, but it's of the bigger society. Last night I was having a conversation, and it wasn't news, nothing. What it was people tend, for whatever reason, to do the same things over again. Now, they make the same mistakes, is what I want to say. Now, if they thought they were making the same mistake, they wouldn't do it. So you necessarily can't blame that person. But you can stand over here and say, you know, I think that's you've done that before. It didn't work out. What makes you think it's going to work out this time? And I don't know why we've become a society in that way. A lot of it has to do with money.
I can say that with the current prosecution of Trump.
There you go. Yeah,
well, it hadn't worked out yet, folks. You keep going after this blind stuff. Knock it off.
Well, I just do not understand why people do the same things, wishing for the different outcome, when you can see it. You can see that this is not right. People do it. It definitely
it's
isn't
because they've taken a position.
Yeah, but it's...
How do you think in this country people rationalize slavery? Think about that.
Well, but
I mean, it was wrong from the get-go, and if you sat back and you really looked at them and looked at what God says about these people, and what God says about us all being Him loving all of us and all of us being born and designed by Him, you couldn't, with good conscience, do that. But yet, people were able to put their conscience aside and say, "Yeah, but this is what's the norm, and this is what's going to be best for me."
But you know what? And I hate to say women, but I'm only going to say it to this degree. I think about this with women. You know, I knew somebody very much on the inside at Turning Point for over 20 years, and who worked with the victims, and 90% went back to the people.
I know it.
And I think, now, wait a second. Now, they really don't believe they're doing something wrong. They really don't. But you can see it. Why would you go back to something?
I don't know. Maybe misery loves company.
I don't know.
But I don't know, but you're right. They do it. And it breaks my heart because, you know, as a pastor, I've dealt with this numerous times with people. And it's not just back to an abusive situation. People will go back to the family that's drawing them down.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, someone will go to prison, and they're told in rehab and different places, you've got to break that cycle of the people you run with. Yeah, I do. And they come out of prison, you know, and they may have an attitude that I'm going to do, and they go right back to the very place that drug them down. Within a month, they're doing the same thing. I had a friend that was a guard at the women's reformatory in Marysville, and was telling me that how many it's sad to see that so many women will come in there, and after about a month, 2 months, 3 months of maybe being really clean, they start getting their head back, and realizing the mistakes they make and missing what they've done with their children, and they want to get their life right. He said those very people, he's known several of them that have been picked up at jail and within 24 hours died of an overdose. Now, why do we do that? I guess that the wrong thing is always the easiest thing to do.
Well, the thing that prompted the conversation I was having last night, it was a friend of mine who'd gotten into a fight with a friend, and I'm using air quotes on this, of theirs. This person who has been their friend for about 2 years, it has been nothing but fights and disagreements.
Walk away.
Yeah, can't. Can't, well, what's that movie say? I can't quit you. That's what this is all about. And you know what I finally said to him? I said, you know what? Relationships, friendships, whatever it is, I don't need to see the same bad movie twice. I saw that bad movie. I don't need to see it again. I know how it ends. Stop.
Yeah. And we are supposed to love people and put people before ourselves. But it doesn't mean that we're supposed to enable them to keep up bad behavior. And many times that's exactly what we do. We enable people to keep up bad behavior around us or to us. And you do have to have some backbone and decide what's right or wrong. And you know, of course, I base it on what I believe is right and wrong on the Scripture and the Word of God. And I have to stand on that regardless. I may be a good conversationalist with somebody all day long, but when it comes down to what I believe, I'm not going to waver from that. And I'm not going to not talk about that to make you feel better. See, that's the whole point. If I truly believe something in my heart, I'm going to desire that you know that for your good, not so I can be right. I already know I'm right. I mean, if you believe you're right, you believe you're right, right? And I already know I'm right. I don't need you to confirm I'm right. I don't need to get one over on you to prove anything. But I do, maybe because I care about what you think and who you are, and I care about the outcome of where you're going, I am going to be forthright with you on what I believe.
But my opinion is on that, if you open up a flank with me, if you're telling me about the problem, I'm guessing you want my take on it. And if you don't like my take, that's fine. I mean, to take crumple it up and throw it in the garbage can. But now here's the thing about this. You mentioned suicide earlier. Now, one of the main causes of suicide, we all know, unfortunately, is divorce, is breakups, all the broken engagements. People get very depressed.
With young people, which is really the one that's really on the forefront today, it's hopelessness.
Right. But you know what I always think at the end, and I've always thought any relationship in my life that ever came to an end, and they all had good points. I would never say anything negative about any of them. But when they come to an end, they come to an end for a reason. And in my mind, this is what I always say in the back of my head. I always say, for whatever reason they're coming to an end, the next, because you know, have you ever been, okay, what really upsets people is when they start to see that person with another person. You know, you're married with someone. They go to pieces.
Oh, sure you would.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Because, of course. Because you know the emotional attachment you have, and now you see them having it with someone else, you can't deal with it.
Well, here's how I get through that. I don't even blink an eye at it when it happens, because here's why. Here's what I say to myself.
You're cold, Scott.
I'm very cold. It's the no emotion part of me. What I always say to myself, okay, yes, there were good parts to that person. They're seeing those good parts. But at the end,
when you're going to see what I saw.
You're going to saw what I saw. You're going to say the same bad movie I saw, because they ain't changing. And, you know, that's the truth. I'm sorry, but it's the
I
truth.
I talked to a guy one time that just had a really mean ex. And he said that he saw this new guy with her, and he was kind of, she introduced him, and the guy was kind of, you know, look at me, she's mine now. And he said he just snickered to himself, because he said, okay, you got her, keep her.
Well, nobody talks about this.
And of course, it can be the same way, vice versa.
Nobody talks about this, and I really think they should, because as you said, it is very hard for people to see people move on, especially if you have not moved on to somebody else. And really, think about it. The person that you are no longer with, think about, you had good times with them. They're seeing the good time part of them right now.
I do think, though, Scott, that we move on way too easily today.
In things? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but, you know,
I mean, especially if we go all the way to the point of marriage, there's gonna be hills and valleys. I've been married 45 years, and I know I'm not really that old. I got married when I was 10, but it's okay. My wife.
That young.
It's okay. My wife is 11.
There you go.
My point being that you know, has it been roses? Not all the time, but great times. There's times she's wanted to kill me, and there's times that she wouldn't know what to do without me. And you know, it goes. But that's part of living and growing together and knowing you get through it. And I wish people would give themselves more time. Now, if you're in an abusive situation, you're being abused, you got to get out of it. You got to get away from it. No one deserves to be physically and, quite frankly, mentally horribly abused. I know someone right now that is actually an extended family member that is one of the worst narcissists I've ever seen in my life, and has totally dominated and controlled his wife to the point that she's just a timid fly that hides in the corner and won't even speak in public because she's afraid of what he's going to bark back at her. And what a sad way to live your life. And he's an impossible person to be around. Everything's everyone else's fault. He judges everything you do. And then if you're in a relationship like that, you know, that's tough. That's abuse.
Well, you know, one thing I can honestly say, and this is another thing I say to myself also, because clearly I've never been married. So when something ends, I always say, well, I saved a lot of money there. Because
that's my grandson. You sound like him.
I was never married, so now I don't have to, you know, because when you're married, it costs a little bit of money to get out of those relationships.
I've got a grandson that's just, I finally decided that I'll know when the right one comes along, and I'm not spending another dime on one until it
There
does.
You go. There you go. And to me, these things, but again, it doesn't mean the person's bad. Obviously, you were with them for a period of time. You like something about them. And I think I've maintained relationships with all the people. You know what's a great thing? One of the relationships I had 20 years ago was a great relationship. We got along. It just came to an end one day. But I grew up with her kids. Her kids were very young at that point. They were not even school age. But I was with there in the time when they started going to school. I would take them to school. I'd take them to McDonald's in the morning, take them to the bus stop. They were there. They lived around. So this year, I'm seeing them graduate. And they're coming into the grocery store to see me and say hello.
Isn't that great?
And I think now, hey, that relationship didn't work out, but this is so great. Look at these kids. They turned out great. And that, you know, hey.
A friend of mine that I went to school with, and I had the blessing of marrying him and another friend of mine when I think it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, they got married, and they both were obviously my age and older. They're having a wonderful life together. But anyway, he had been married years ago, and he raised this girl's daughter for years, and it was his daughter as far as he was concerned. Well, when she left him, unfortunately, not for, you know, for whatever reason, I won't get into that. But anyway, when she left him, she completely cut off contact between her daughter and him. And just about 2 or 3 years ago, she got in contact with him and him with her, and it lit him up. He was just so excited because he missed that relationship. And you see, that's one of the things that we don't always pay attention to in, you know, this whole thing about I need to be happy. Well, be happy sometimes in doing what's right. People forget about the collateral damage kids go through when their parents split up because they love them both dearly and they want them both. And the parents split up, and then many times they start taking shots at each other. I really have a lot of respect for the parents that will. A friend of mine, you know, talks about that he had an ugly divorce when he was very young. His son was very young. And he said, I would never say a bad word about his mother to him when I had him, ever. Now, she might me, but he said I never would because he needed to learn to grow to love and respect his mother. And I appreciate that so much in people. And we should think about what we're doing to kids when we use them as a pawn in a bad relationship.
That is why every relationship I was ever in, and you know, to be honest with you, most of them did involve kids. Not my kids. I don't have any kids, but there were kids involved in all those relationships. Now, some I was closer to than others just because of the situation. And also when you enter their life, if you enter it younger, it's a little different.
Right.
But I never had a bad relationship with the kids, I'll say that, because I never tried to be their parent. I didn't want them to call me dad. That was nonsense to me.
You spoiled them, did you?
Yeah, no, I did. But the point of it is that I have tried very hard, and I it's a conscious effort with all these people when it ends to maintain a friendship for the reason you just said, because I don't want to have a bad relationship with their family. I don't want to have a bad relationship with their kids. If I run into them in the grocery store, I don't want to have to cross over to the next aisle. I don't want it to be that.
And it shouldn't be that way.
No, and you know what? It's very hypocritical of me to say, oh, I like this person. Oh, I like this person for years. And then one day, I can't stand them. I don't want to ever see them again. Well, now you sound a little hypocritical.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we have to be very careful about, there's one thing about pointing out wrongs, there's something about in every situation. And, you know, obviously, I'm not going to agree with somebody that's an atheist. You know, and I'll tell them why I don't agree, I'll tell them what I believe, and that's up to them. That's their personal choice what they're going to do. But I'm not going to slam them and just call them vicious names. And it's the same thing vice versa. I don't hear an atheist, you know, slamming Christians. First of all, if I'm going to side with you on anything and say that I'm going to consider you to be in my court, so to speak, and you're slamming a certain group because of what they believe or what they say, I guess I have to realize that if I start having an opinion about something you don't agree with, you're going to be slamming me. Well, I don't want to be around someone that's going to change their mind and start slamming me all the time. You can disagree with me. I have friends that disagree with me on just about everything. Now, are they confidants? No. And it's because I will not have a close confidant of people that obviously don't believe what I do. We're not supposed to. Biblically, we're not supposed to, but it doesn't mean that I can't have an understanding, an agreement, a good relationship, be civil, not slam them. First of all, if I believe that I'm right and everything that I believe is right and for the betterment of you, where am I going to get that across to you by slamming you or by, you know, blaming you for everything in the world? It's not going to happen. And, you know, so many times, and I agree with you, Scott, how can you say you love someone? You know, I see these people and they'll post stuff about, oh, I found the love of my life. You know, you'll see this. And I read this 6 months ago too.
It was somebody else in that picture.
Somebody else. But yeah. You know, then all of a sudden you're trashing them to your kids and, you know, the different people that come through the door and is this one going to be dad? Is that one going to be dad? Is this one going to be a mom? Is this one going to be mom? You know, and then all of a sudden they're a dog and you're not supposed to talk to them anymore. Very difficult. Hey, you know something interesting? We got 10 minutes left on this show.
15. We got about 15.
Okay.
That clock must be a little off up there.
So we've talked about everything under the sun here, and it's been a good conversation, I think. But I don't understand why no one's called in and chewed me out yet.
Oh, by the way, the phones are open.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We are live today.
They can call in and disagree all day long. It might give us something more to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. 740-383-9944. If you've got an opinion on anything we've said this morning, good or bad, agree or disagree, 740-383-9944. You know, something.
Scott, we both decided that we keep this civil, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a disagreement can be a civil disagreement, and which I hope it always is. 740-383-9944 on any topic we've got this morning. But another thing, and I was just thinking this past week when it dates to illness as well as relationships, as well as your family, whatever you're having discord about. One thing that always keeps me chipper, you know, happy, is I really do believe in my bones that I've had a lucky life. So whatever comes along, I just can't get that upset about it when something bad happens, whether that's illness, whether that's relationships with people, whether that's, you know, I don't see eye to eye with this person. Well, you know what? I've had so many good things that have happened to me that far outweigh the bad, and I just am not going to get down. It just isn't going to happen.
I get hurt. When I'm hurt, I'm hurt, and it bothers me. I don't people that you put trust in that hurt you bother me. It bothers me, and maybe that's something I should get over easier. But it bothers me. Even some of the people that have and in life this happens. I'm not being a crybaby about it. I'm just saying that in life, you know, there's people that will really do things that are hurtful, and seemingly with no conscience about doing it. And when that happens, you know, you might see me in a poor countenance for a couple of days because it hurts. But as far as being depressed and angry about, is this ever going to get better? Am I, you know what, I got to move on. If I did not have thick skin being a pastor, I'd be washed up and out the door a long time ago.
You know, my advice to people when they're having a rough time, or just in general in life, I always say there are three things in the morning that I think everybody should think about before their feet hit the pillow or feet hit the floor. I think they should say, okay, what do I love? Okay, what do I love? Now, it can be a person, it can be a thing, but you've got to love it unconditionally. That's the trick. It doesn't matter if it loves you back. You just have to love it unconditionally. The other thing, have a purpose. What is your purpose, overall purpose in life? What are you really trying to accomplish? You might not participate in it every day, but overall, what's the purpose? What's getting you out of bed every morning? And number three, what is higher than yourself? Because you cannot say, well, it's all me. Me, me, me.
I think you just described God. I truly believe in that, as God says, that He creates every one of us with purpose. So there's that purpose you talk about. And I think it's not something that you have to discover the purpose. I think that when you're doing what you're right and you're surrendered to what you should be, the purpose will come about. But one thing that you said just a minute ago that I picked up on that I think is key is that you said that what is something that you love unconditionally that's not about you? Not about yourself. And I think that's the problem with what a lot of people quote-unquote call love. Love is this thing to them that they're going to do a certain thing, but they expect a certain response. And is, what does that person do for me? How do they make me feel? How does this situation make me feel? How is this going to come out for me? Me, 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 me. And unconditional love is just the opposite. Unconditional love is you love no matter what. And that's why you run into many times that with parents, instead of maybe stopping the bleeding with a kid that's having a problem, instead of putting your foot down and saying, look, it's time that you toe the line. It's time that you, whatever it may be, go into rehab, or you're not going to disrespect me, or you're not going to skip school, whatever the case may be. They worry so much about how that child feels about them. They want to keep that warm feeling, so they don't discipline. And they don't do it the things needed. I mean, love requires work. And sometimes showing love can be rough. It can be tough. It can be in the trenches. But if you want everything rosy all the time so it makes you feel good, there's not going to be a good outcome.
No, and I don't think in the end it's possible to have a good outcome. And I just think if you can figure out in your life what those three things are, even if you don't hit them every day, that essentially you're going to be a happier person because you can recognize what they are. And I hope that people truly do that. You know what's sad to me? When I look at people, and it's money. Money is a huge driver in this world. Now, yes, you've got to pay your bills. I understand that. But if your main consequence, if your happiness is based on money, and you're willing
you're
to turn...
You're in trouble.
And you will turn your life upside down.
You can never have enough.
No, no, no. And you know what? I'm sorry, but money never bought anybody happiness. I mean, do you want... Now, can it make your life a little less stressful for a moment? Yes, it can. But did it buy you happiness in the long-term thing? Did it really?
How many rich people do you see that have lives that are falling apart because they're so unhappy?
Well, the quote I put on social media last night, and again, if people know the movie, they can watch the movie. I don't want to say it because it's based on a real story, and it was a famous person, and I don't want that... just knowing the famous person to turn the quote off, because I think the quote is brilliant. The older broadcaster is sitting with the young broadcaster. The young broadcaster says, "What got you into journalism?" The older broadcaster just says, "Curiosity." And the younger broadcaster, kind of bewildered, goes, "That's it?" And the older broadcaster goes, "That's everything." And to bam, right there. That's
you
it.
You know, I was, excuse me, it brings me up to a memory. Brad Delp. You know who that is?
I don't know Brad Delp.
Brad Delp was the lead singer for years for Boston, the rock.
Oh,
Boston.
Yes, okay.
Brad Delp, wonderful talent, wonderful talent. Was adored by millions. Committed suicide several years back. Asphyxiated himself through the old hose in the car deal with a car running type thing. But he left a note that said I am just a lonely man. And if that doesn't show you that money and power does not give you happiness, nothing does.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Had all the dough. Not a happy man.
Not a happy man. And there's so many like that. I mean, they get into drugs, they kill them. The people say, "Well, he had everything." No, he didn't. He didn't have purpose, and he didn't he didn't put others before himself. You know, when you put people before yourself all the time, like honestly, that's just naturally what you begin to do. When you put people before yourself, love will come to you. Do you understand that? People don't understand. You know, the more we give away of ourselves, the more we come back. That, by the way, is also a biblical principle. That you have to give away to get back. Those are the people that are going to be happy. When you're doing everything for yourself and to build yourself, there's very few people. It's amazing to me. I did a funeral recently, and if the family's out there, you'll know who I'm talking about. I won't mention any names. But I did a funeral recently of a man that literally, I mean, he did okay. I mean, he fed his family, and they all grew up fine. Everything was great. But he never really had anything. He didn't drive the new car. He didn't have a nice house. He didn't have any of that kind of stuff. And he wasn't active in the community. He was just... But he loved his family, and he loved his kids, and he loved his friends. And I did that funeral, and I could not believe the amount of people that came through the viewing of the church. And our church was packed for it. He didn't even go to our church. He was someone in the community that I the family, I reach out to families. I knew him. I knew the family. But I was thinking, and I mentioned that in the funeral. I mean, if you want to know what kind of man this was, look at all of you. And, you know, at the same time, I could do a funeral for somebody that had it all, and you might have six people sitting out there. And the truth is, it's not about what you have. It's not about money, so quit chasing it, right?
Well, it's all internal, too. You know, to be honest with you, were you happy? That's really what we're talking about here, because honestly, all this flowery stuff, you know, could you pay your bills? Did you have to scrimp and save? Did you have the best shoes? Did you have a brand new car every year? Could you put gas in the tank? Well, you know what? You're not asking yourself those questions on your deathbed. Those questions are no longer relevant.
Let me tell you something. I've talked to many on their deathbed, and I've never heard it yet. You know, I've never heard anyone say, man, I wish I'd have made more money.
No.
Or I wish I had a bigger house. It usually comes back to one man. It was very sad to me. He looked at me very broken, and he said, I know God put me here for a reason, but I never slowed down long enough to think about why.
You know what? And that's what you get on deathbeds a lot of time, and it's very sad. Regrets. Mm-hmm. I should have stayed with that person. I should have worked on that marriage. I should have kept that job because I loved it. It didn't pay me the most, but why did I leave it? Why didn't I try that career that I didn't think I could do? You hear that a lot.
One man said to me that he said, my kids don't even know who I am.
There you go.
That's sad.
Very sad.
That's a very sad. But here's the whole point, folks, and this is the upbeat part of this show, is that, I hope it's all upbeat, but the upbeat part of the show is this, that you can change this today.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be over.
It doesn't have to be over. You can still, you know, that's the great thing about life is we get out of bed every morning. Now, you might have a pile of things on your, that you need to work on, but just start chipping away one at a time. You know, maybe it is bills that's dragging you down. Knock one off one at a time. You know, when you get that one paid off, work on paying off the next one. Don't pick up another one because you suddenly think you have money. You know, if you've been treating your wife poorly, guess what? Decide you're not going to do that anymore. And when she gets home today, tell her you love her and maybe do something she never would expect you to do.
And be less judgmental.
And be like, yeah, absolutely. You know what? Here's the thing. When we're judgmental with people, do we think that we're so good that we don't deserve any judgment ourselves? You see what I mean? I mean, if someone's criticizing you and harping you on all the time, you know, I just think to myself, well, if I say something as a comeback towards you, it's just going to erupt the situation and make it more intense and worse. But I'm thinking to myself, are you that blind to see that? Are you perfect? You know, and we're not. None of us are. I don't have the right to point fingers at everybody about what they do and they don't do. They certainly can point fingers at me, and you know, that's fine. I mean, I won't say I have an excuse for everything I've done in my life, but I do know that I've dealt with it, and that you know, a lot of things. Sometimes that's the great thing about God. You know, God forgives us, and all we have to do is ask Him to. Well, all you have to do is say, God, you know, I made a mistake. You know, Christ, you died for me. You covered my sin. Take them, please. And then start a fresh life and move on.
Well, you know, and I think that's the circularity of life, to be honest with you, is that look at what you're doing before you hop into it. I mean, really. Because once you get in, you can be stuck. You can be stuck, and it's going to be hard to pull yourself out a lot of the time. But it's so sad when people don't look at it. When they're doing it, and a lot of times it's financial. They say, oh, this will lessen the burden. And by the way, the whole Turning Point story earlier on, a lot of times a lot of those women go back because of money. They can't afford to support themselves.
I tell teenage boys a lot of times, I deal with a lot of youth, and I'll tell them, you know, how important it is to pay attention to what they're doing. Don't just take a relationships for granted. I said, the last thing you want to do is be 25 years old and have five kids with five women and be paying for every one of them until they're 18 years old. I said, you can decide at any time you're going to get your life together and you're going to do what's right. But I said, you know, that baggage is still there. You still got that, carrying that financial burden. Now you might find great joy in those children, that would be great, but I'm saying that, you know, you're right, Scott, pay attention, don't get into things that are going to bury you. It was kind of like back when everybody could buy a house so easily. Look, if you know that you can't pay for it, don't get in it, because you're going to have the sad day of when you have to get out of it.
And don't run the good people off.
Oh, isn't
pay,
that important?
Pay attention. Pay it. You might, for some reason, be having a bad moment with them right now, but if they are somebody who encourages you, if they're somebody who backs you up, if you know that you could call them at 3 o'clock in the morning and they'd be there, not good to run those people off.
Don't run those people off. You know, and don't run those people off that pick and choose who they're going to be totally judgmental with either, because, you know, what I mean is don't embrace those people that have a tendency to be judgmental constantly, because it's hard to live with. I had a friend growing up that my word, every day he had a different group to attack, and he did, and he's still, this guy now is he's my age, and he's still the same way. I mean, it's constantly, we call those issue people. They always have to have an issue to be fired up about, and he was always fired up about something. I can't handle being around that.
That'll hurt your blood pressure. Each and every time. Pastor, it is so good to have you back this week. You'll be back next week, and you can catch this show on the website and repeated throughout the week on this station. And if people want to come to service at Community Christian Fellowship?
9:30 is morning Bible study, and service time is at 10:30.
We'll be back next Friday. Thank you, Pastor.
Take care.
And I saw it. And as soon as I saw that, I was already...